All right, praise the Lord. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Please, we'll soon be out of here. Please, I want to just say, we are going to... I was just going to announce, first of all, we thank Pastor Cosmos for that session. He's been up here for the last 2 hours more, teaching us the word of God, and we have really been blessed and encouraged. Just for those who came later than when we started, what we are doing is just to encourage those who are teaching others. Like Pastor Cosmos said, you have a dangerous job. People often don't realize it. They think it's a prestigious job. It is not. It is a dangerous job. When some of us here will be joking, like Pastor Okemute will say, we'll just be laughing. He said, this work, money day. Now only say short life, follow him. Now it'll be problem. He said, if you're ready to die early, you go make money now. You know, Okemute is a worry guy, so that's why he says it. He said, this one, he said, money day now. Now just say, just die early. If not, it's premature death. And really, that's what people don't realize. One of the things I like to do, and I'm doing it now, is to encourage preachers to read and learn from other people. One of my very close minister friends, he's also just a personal friend, Pastor Courage, he will tell you something. He said, we learn from our elders what to do and what not to do. We're talking to the other day, I said some men we watched, they blessed us either by teaching the word of God, which was the primary way, or by making mistakes which we said we must never make. There are people. There's a way I responded to ministers because of some things they did, which were not proper. But for me, what was most important is that I must never do them. That's it. I make sure, we used to have, there are people you know, once they are coming, preacher, you run the other direction. So I say, why? I know the reason. I say, Banky, don't ever do that. That's why I'm careful. I don't put pressure on people. I don't use my so-called authority to make you do things that will please me. The only time I wield my authority is for your own good. If I don't see you in Bible study, you'll be in trouble. You know, things like that. But not for my own good, not for the good of Kingdom World Ministries. Because I've realized that it is not right. And it's from experience. Observing other people make that mistake. What am I trying to say? You know why God gave us Solomon? One of the reasons God gave us Solomon. The whole of Solomon's life was an experiment. The way you go to the lab and test. So when he finished, he wrote down and said, this one, vanity. I did this one, vanity. This one, rubbish. This one, chasing after the wind. This one, don't waste your time. This one, at the end of the day, he said, there's nothing better than to just obey God. Relax your life. Solomon married 700 wives and had 300 concubines. At the end, he said, there is nothing better than to stick with one wife, the wife of your youth. Why do you want polygamy? The man who has done it more than you has experimented. And do you know, wise people have copied the good one. So you find even smart Muslims using monogamy. The secretary of the Islamic Council, Nigerian Islamic, something Council for Islamic Affairs. Supreme Council for Islamic Affairs. The man had only one wife. I was told it was when the current Sultan of Sokoto was crowned that they said he must get a second wife. Solomon did it and said, guys, you know they pay. In the same manner, there are ministers who have made mistakes. I tell preachers, please read so that you don't make the same mistakes. Go and read God's Generals, the first edition. Because there are so many God's Generals now. You have like 4 or 5 of them. That first one, read it. Robert Sladen compiled for you under instruction from the Holy Spirit how they did well and how they failed. Learn how people do well and learn why people fail. For me, the most incisive, penetrating instructions in those areas is from the mouth of the man, Kennedy Hagin. Some people say God doesn't kill people. Even Kennedy Hagin would try to say it's not God, it's the devil. I say, whether it's God or devil, a dead man is dead. But he will say, number one, go and, in fact, part of our compilation, we give out gifts, okay, for those who came. We don't have them prepared because of all the pressures we have had, especially because we are not using our own venue. We have to go over there. But please, I owe everybody here a compilation of messages, including today's teachings, all right? And then some of these things, especially from men like Kenneth Hagin and David Paulson and other ones that we have put together, to come to you on the CD, plus our book, So Who Will Pay For This? All right, I wrote that. I think we have enough copies available. Everybody gets a free copy of that. You get that one as you are going. All right, even if you have it already, that's somebody else. All right, but that other CD, it will get to you later. We'll bring it in the evening. Please try and be at the venue. All right, so just come and say, please, I was in the morning's meeting. Where is my CD? Okay, I believe we are. I mean, only those who are here know to come and ask. So you will just prepare. All right, just do a small head count. All right, Olainka. Just systematically count so that we have an estimate. We can have it ready. We want to do a small compilation. I have this series I listen to again and again on Divine Healing by Kenneth Hagin. He was teaching a minister's conference on divine healing. And he made a statement, and I was saying, listen, these are the things people don't hear. He said, these things, we can't say them in crusades. He said, I can only say them here where I'm talking to preachers. He said, in crusades, we just share the general word, hope a number of people, all right, will be able to believe and receive their healing. He said, but we know certain people will never get it. He was talking to ministers. He began to give account. He said, one of the reasons ministers die early, they take the word of God, twist it. They are not walking in love. They are not following their calling. They are doing anyhow. They are copying other people. He said, even he, the Lord Jesus appeared to him physically one day after he had fallen down, broken his elbow. He didn't break the bone, but he dislocated his elbow very badly. And while he was in hospital recovering, his wife left his seat less than 30 minutes before. Then he heard somebody coming. The door opened. He was having a vision. And the Lord walked in. He could see him. Took that same chair his wife was sitting on and sat down there and talked to him for 2 hours. One of the things he told him, he said, better be happy your hand broke, because that's the only way we can have this discussion. He said, I could have prevented it, but I chose not to. If I prevented it and you were not corrected by this, you will have not lived beyond the age of 57. He gave him the year. He was in his late 30s. Why? He said, because I called you to be a prophet and a teacher. By your own mouth, he said, I will judge you. He gave him a reference. There was a day you were preaching here, and you said, the Lord called me to be a prophet and a teacher. He said, but you neglected the prophet's ministry. Let me add my own words. You quenched the spirit, and you're only teaching alone. He said, if I allowed you to go on like that, maximum 57, you're dead. I needed to correct you. And you wouldn't, and I'm adding new words now, you won't hear any other way. Because you are too busy. So I needed to break you to pieces. While they are mending you in hospital, we'll be able to talk. He amended his ways after that. I don't have to have that experience. He has had it for me. I don't do things because it is popular. Once I went to the bank, GT Bank, one man saw me. Then we're doing Way of Success on radio. And it was a very popular program. Those of you who remember it. He said, sir, what are you doing here? I said, I came to the bank. I have some transaction. So you come to the bank yourself. You don't have boys to send. Like you said, is that success in ministry? To him, you're a successful man. You do be coming to the bank. Well, there's nothing I say. This is my level. If I have to do it, I do it. Last time I was going to Port Harcourt, I was going to Benin to go and preach. The road was so bad getting to Port Harcourt. Our vehicle sank. I was the first to come out, remove my shoes, remove my socks, enter the mud. I said, driver, me will push him. This was about a month ago. Let's push. It was when I came, that I realized that, oh, this gentleman has come down. All right, let's join. They came, then the boys from around came, and we pushed the vehicle out of the mud. After that, we bought water, poured it on my feet, wore my socks on my shoes back, and kept on going. There's nothing like I'm too big to push. You are in the mud, bros. If you don't push, you will stay there. There's nothing like I'm too big to go to the bank. I'm too big to go and buy fuel. If you need fuel, better go and buy it. These are things, you know, what I want to say is that other people have made mistakes. Let's not make those mistakes. They've been documented so that we will not go. Some of these things, you know, my wife says something once in a while. She says, is it that these people don't fear God? I'm not planning to, you know, I just want to share with us briefly. Pastor Cosmos has done all the teaching for today. What I just want to add, because I was preparing for my own preparation was for the evening teaching that I'm going to do in the evening at the mall. But I just said, well, let me just write something down and share with people today, because that one stayed on my heart, and I believe that is the Spirit of God. I have just two things, just one message for preachers, just one, broken into two. And in fact, it's one, no need to break it, based on that thing my wife said. One, fear God. That's the only thing. When I say fear, I don't mean reverence. I mean be afraid. I don't mean just reverence the presence of the Holy Spirit. No, that's not what I mean. I mean when you see God, say, Oga, I don't want to disobey you. I don't want to injure. That's what I mean. Even those who say God doesn't kill, I have read behind their messages. And they've told us, God killed this one, God killed this one, God killed this one. And they'll tell you why. He did. Said this one, he loved money too much. Because of his love for money, his ministry ended before he was 40. Ministry is not a way you make it in life. It's a sacrifice. I was in Boni, the brother that invited me, the pastor there, Pastor Ogaga, he said, Pastor, thank you for coming. I need you to teach me something personal before you go. So I searched inside my stomach. What will I tell this man? What came to my mind is, oh boy, ministry is sacrifice. There's nothing like my mates are driving Mercedes. That is the very reason you should trek. Ministry is not if the doctor can make it, I can make it too. Nonsense. Ministry is not, the people in the world are flying. Why can't I fly? Rubbish. Ministry is, if I wasn't in ministry, I would have been flying, but now I'm trekking. Fine, if it comes to that, then that let it be like that. Ministry is sacrifice. If God now decides that, okay, fly, fly. But there's no entitlement that says I'm in ministry. There's nothing like that. Ministry is sacrifice. Paul said, as poor, but yet making many rich. That's ministry. There are statements we make in Christianity that's not right. A pipe carrying water cannot contain or complain of thirst is a lie. Your pipe never drinks your water. If you pour a gallon of water at the beginning, at the end, the pipe gives you a gallon. It sounds nice, it's not true. You can be a healing minister and die of disease. You are a channel. Channels don't take. As a preacher, go and get the way every Christian is getting. There's all this entitlement mentality is what the problem is. You are not entitled to anything. Put that one in your mind. If things come, thank God for it. You know that this job you have taken, like Pastor Cosma said, people used to say, "God, find me something else to do now. Must I go?" But now we built a lot of prestige around it. People are eager to go. Like I said, I have just one message. I'm not speaking for long, and it summarizes as what? Fear God. Fear Him. There's a short part of that which I want to explain. Revere His word. That's part of fearing Him. Revere the word. That is, once His Bible. Let me tell you something, my own personal experience. This is not bragging. This is just a fact. I am an anointed teacher of the word. That's not proud. I'm describing what my life is. I was born to teach. When I start teaching, I have the weight of the unction of God behind my words. I know it. For that reason, I never use that unction to engage in arguments. Never. If I'm angry with my wife and I want to correct her, I don't come with a teaching unction. I come as an angry husband. Sweetheart, I am angry. You are misbehaving. Stop that. I don't like it. Then when it's time to teach, let us teach. It's an abuse of office. That's why you would not have not had argument of scripture with anybody in years. Ever since I discovered that I was anointed to teach, I don't get involved with argument with it. For a number of reasons. One of them is the argument is unfair. Even if I'm lying, the unction behind my words will make that guy lose. It's an unfair the quarrel. So I keep quiet. I don't argue with you based on scripture. If they talk your own, and they talk my own for my own. If you can't lie, I will keep quiet. Either you are teaching me, or I'm teaching you. Me and you arguing only generates more ungodliness. Revere the word of God. Pastor Cosman said something earlier. He didn't emphasize it enough, in my opinion. He said it in passing. You may die. If you treat this word anyhow, you may die. One day, one person invited me to come up. No, we're joking. I had preached for him a number of times. So, it was not just with me later, but one man that came to their church. Okay, I'll give. We are talking to preachers, so I can say. So, when I went to preach for him, after preaching 5 sessions, he gave me honorarium. Thank you for coming. 5,000 naira. My wife said, 1K per session. I preached 5 sessions for him. 5. I don't preach for money. I preached before. The pastor didn't even call to say thank you for coming. Not one cup, not water. I finished preaching. I left. Never heard from him again. So it's not a big deal. And if he invites me tomorrow, I will go. So it's not the money is not the issue. All right? Let me not even talk about that. So people do that. I'm used to it. We just leave all those things. Not a big deal. God will take care of you. Amen. Like I said, Rick and Hagin will explain those things to you, so I don't need to teach them. Now, but later he and I were speaking. He was not telling me about one man that came to their denomination, but a bigger branch. Not much bigger than his own anyway, but it was the main branch that time. And he said that they gave the man honorarium 1,000,000 naira. He did not preach as many sessions as I did. So he and I were playing, we were joking. He said, man of God, we gave him 1,000,000. I said, what? So I jokingly said, next time, now, God is my witness, I'm not lying. I jokingly said to him, next time I come to your church, hey, if you don't give me another 100,000, me and you will call it, we're just playing. We're friends. He now made a statement. He said, we gave that man 1,000,000 because he raised 8,000,000. Okay. He said, if you will raise money for me, no problem, I will give to you too. I turned the joke to serious matter. I said, my brother, I will not, because, this is where I'm going, because I love my wife and I love your wife. I told him, I said, I won't, because I love my wife and I love your wife. He's a married man too. I said, for the sake of these two women in our lives, I won't try it. What is money? All flesh is what? Grass. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and suffers the loss of his own soul? And when Jesus said that, he meant the man died. Did he mean he went to hellfire? He said, okay, now you have amassed all of this money. You're dead. Like one man sent to me in WhatsApp. He said, whether you like mansion or if you like build mansion or get hot, when you die, me and you the same size they go give us. He said, our grave will be the same size. You live in a mansion, doesn't matter. Bros, 6 feet for you, 6 feet for me. They share it equally. I said, this is wisdom. Fear God, though. Don't believe Joseph Prince when he says God doesn't kill Christians. It's not true. I love Joseph Prince, so I'm not. That's not criticism. It's my brother. Okay, he doesn't. He allows the devil to kill them. They are still dead. That's what I want to emphasize. Please go and read a man like Kenneth Hagin. I shouldn't preach what he has preached. I will package that, about two sets of his messages will be part of what we are compiling. I'm sure he wouldn't mind if he was here. We want to help the people of God. Listen to them. You will see the warnings that he gave. My own message to you today is, please, this word of God is not literature. It's not a physics textbook. It responds to how you handle it. It's a living thing. If I want to carry this chair, I can drag it like this. You no go mind. I can carry it like this. You no go mind. I can hold it like this. You no go mind. Okay, if they come here, I carry it first. If I drag her like this, see? He don't react. He was willing for me to pull his ear. Pastor, now you now. But his body reacted. Come here, carry you small. If I pinch her like this, see, the man bent. The word of God is alive. It matters how you handle it. It's not a piece of furniture. If you touch it wrongly, sometimes it bites. It has venom. If it decides to, like they say, envenomate. Is that English correct? Yes. If it decides to release the venom, it's toxic. The Bible said the word of God is living and active. Handle it properly so it can bless you. Handle it properly so it can bless your hearers. Paul told him like that. So by so doing, you will save those that hear you and yourself. That's my only message. One day, one of my dear sisters, she called the pastor. Somebody asked her, how do I handle such situations? The pastor, what you are doing? And she's senior in their church. So the pastor gave her the respect. He said, what you are doing, sir? I'm confused. Can you show us from the scriptures that what you are doing is right? The man said, my sister, forget that thing. Even me, I know it is wrong. The man said to her, pray for me. I think I'm beginning to operate witchcraft. He said, it's not my fault, it's headquarters. He said, the other day I had a good message, and I got a message that said we must send 3 million naira to headquarters. He said, I had to change my message immediately. I knew God was angry. I told her, I said, your pastor is close to salvation. It's close. He hasn't entered. It's close. Let me quickly say something for everybody. My pastor was the one that told me we'd not save you on that day. That is, if you get an instruction to disobey God and you have an authority to quote for it, you will still die for it. As long as you knew it was wrong. God sent a prophet to Jeroboam, to Samaria, to go and prophesy against the altars of Jeroboam. He said, don't eat there. Don't drink there. If you're coming from the east, if you're coming from the east of the city, leave by the west. Don't go back the way you came. He did like that. And the senior prophet who was in tune with government, and so he couldn't rebuke them, came. He wasn't around when these things happened. And he said, they told him what happened. He said, where did he go? He said, that way. He went and called him. He said, come back home with me. I'm a senior prophet. I've been in ministry before you. The young man said, no, I can't, sir. God said, anywhere I pass, I don't go back that way. I'm not allowed to eat and drink in the city. He said, yeah, I know. God spoke to you. But God also spoke to me. And he said, I should go and bring you back. If God speaks to you directly, and he speaks to you indirectly, obey the one you heard directly. The man obeyed the word of God and went, the word of the man of God and went back. As a young Christian, it used to bother me. Because the Bible says that the Spirit of God, while they were at table, the Spirit of God came upon the old prophet. And he prophesied to the young boy that you have disobeyed the word of God, you are going to die. And that guy got up, he started going, and he died. And the old prophet came, picked the body up, buried him, and mourned for him. And I said, God, why do you let this happen? I called the brother to my house once. I heard some things he did. I wasn't there. It was reported to me. I called him. I said, sit down here. Let me just warn you. Don't let people like me use you, you will die for it. I said, just my personal instruction for you. I was preaching once. One brother came to me and said, please, I was instructed from above to tell you that your message should be used to encourage people to bring money with their Thanksgiving envelopes. I said, let me ask you a question I hope I'll never have to ask you again. He said, what? I said, are you mad? That was my question. I said, are you mad? He said, sorry, sir. It was an instruction that was given. I said, listen, there are certain people you don't deliver certain instructions to. I said, I'm one of them. Don't ever in your life dare that again. He said, I'm sorry. I said, get out from here. The word of God is not a tool you use to do what you like. Church roof is leaking. You have a message for leaking roof. Fear God, though. God is long-suffering. It's different from ever-suffering. Long and ever are two different words. Slow to anger just means he's slow. If I start going to Lagos with keke napep, I will get there. It's just time. I can fly to Lagos. 1 hour I'm there. I'm fast to anger. Or I can ride the keke napep. It might take me a whole day, 24 hours. I'm slow to anger. But in both cases, I get there. Let nobody tell you that under grace, God does not punish people. It is not true. Under grace, God empowers them to obey him so he does not have to punish them. When he said it's a terrible thing to fall into the hand of the living God, he was writing to Christians. When Paul looked at a man committing adultery, he said, I cast him over to Satan. He was talking to a Christian. Let us fear God, though. Like Pastor Cosma said earlier, we must never obstruct those who are looking for God. God said, it will have been more terrible for you that they hung a millstone around your neck and threw you into the river than for you to make one of these little ones stumble. When God gives authority, the way I like to illustrate all the time is, I'm standing here. Number of you here are older than I am in age. Maybe you have preached for longer than I have preached. But I'm standing here, if I tell you, put up your right hand, do you know you will? If I say, turn to your neighbor and give him a headbutt, you will have done it before. You say, wait, what did you say just now? It's called authority. And when God gives you authority, he does not restrain you by force from how you use it. He instructs you on how to use it, but he won't restrain you by force. He made Saul king. Saul was killing priests. God was looking at him. Saul wiped out a whole village of priests because he heard that David slept there. And God didn't say anything. He was looking at him. When God gives you power, it is your responsibility to restrain yourself. It is your responsibility. That's why I said, please, fear God. See this word, treat it with reverence. Treat it with what? Reverence. Use it only to build Christ-likeness in people. Once you mount the pulpit, there must be nothing else in your heart as your motivation more than to build Christ in people. If you want to raise money, like somebody said, it's a simple way. It's just be truthful. Brethren, we need money. Since we will not call Dangote, let's call ourselves. Please, we need, the total we need is 5 million naira. As God moves you, put money in this account. There's nothing wrong with that. Do not promise what God did not promise. When you give one offering, your life will not be the same again. How can it be the same when you are poor now? Don't promise what you didn't promise. Teach Christians to give consistently. Consistency is what brings results in our lives. Paul said it clearly. Don't get tired of doing good. In due season, you will reap a reward if you don't get tired. Don't tell people that it's only short term they do things and they get reward. Please. Like I said, my message is short. It summarizes in two words. Fear God. The word is what? Fear. I didn't say reverence him. I said what? Fear him. Take this word. Like I say, my basic training is in medicine. And for that reason, I've been to theater many times. And I've seen surgeons operate. And when we're young, when we're house officers those days, we also had to assist in some operations, major operations, a few. So one of the things they taught us was how to clean yourself up before surgery. Let me tell those who don't know, I'll give you a small rundown. The clothes you will wear are boiled to make them sterile. That is, what you cover yourself with is sterilized. There's no germ in it. You wear it without touching it. There's a trick for wearing it. You are taught how to wear it. You hold it up like this. You toss it up. You spread your hands inside so that you don't contaminate the cloth. 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 Then you wear sterile gloves. Sterilized with gamma radiation. Because they can't boil it. They can't heat it. So they use gamma radiation to sterilize the gloves after manufacturing. But before you can even touch the sterile gloves, you wash your hands up to the elbow with a brush and soap 3 times. That's the one I like in it. They have what they call scrubbing area. You see, the first time I went to the place as medical students, the man is talking to you, telling you things, you're watching them, and he starts washing his hands from the tip of his fingers, under his nails, with a soft brush and simple soap. And washes up to his elbow and rinses it off under running water. Then he starts again, as if he hasn't washed it before. He rinses under running water. Then he starts a third time, as if he didn't do it the first 2 times. Then they say his hands are clean enough to wear his gloves. Did you hear what I said? So when he comes into the theater, it looks like a masquerade. Because they cover his head with a sterile cloth. He wears something that's sterile over his face. Not to protect him, but to protect the patient. Why? He's handling a sick person with human medicine. How much more should we be careful when we are treating the word of God, which is superior to every surgical equipment and surgical technique? That's what I'm saying. Go to where pharmacists manufacture drugs or compound drugs. NAFDAC tells them the kind of paint to use for the wall. So that bacteria can't hide inside. So you can take a medicine into your mouth. That's how human beings take care concerning things that are perishable. Take care with the word of God, though. The word does not like to be handled roughly. You don't use it to settle your quarrel. People disobey you as a pastor, you start preaching on obedience. Do you understand? It's turning your stones to bread. You quarrel with the family in church, they become topic for message. You will soon get injured. You are answering them from the pulpit. You know they can't answer back. Oh God, let me just quote a few scriptures, a few verses. The last one I will quote is 2 Corinthians. Let's just first read, because of time, I'll just rush through it. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 21. God said, I did not send these prophets, but they ran. You don't be like that. The one I want to open to is Proverbs 30, verses 5 and 6. I'll read it quickly. He said, every word of God is tested. You know, before a drug comes into the market, you know what the drug companies are supposed to do? They go through three levels of tests. Forget all these traditional healers you have all over the place. Talking about drug companies. They do three levels of tests. There are some basic tests that are not even there. Looking at the structure, you know whether this thing is mutagenic, is like this. They first check. If you think it's safe, they start testing the animals. Then when they get to level three, they now do clinical trials with human beings. After they have proven to the extent of human understanding that it is safe, as far as they know, by using lower animals, they now come to the third level, which is clinical trials in human beings. By that time, they generally use two sets of people. People that have no other hope, or people who volunteer, depending on the kind of drug. If it's an anti-cancer drug, they ensure that you use every other treatment possible. It didn't work. Let's not use this one. They start testing before they are approved to use it in human beings. And once they approve it, the people recommend a dose, you use it like that. You don't manipulate it again. If you manipulate that drug, you go back to square one and start again because it's a new drug now. God said, everyone, every bit of my word has been what? Tested. Don't change the formula. Are you getting my point? If you read in verse 6, don't add to his words, lest he reprove you and you be proved a liar. The word of God is pure. Psalms, I think someone wanted to explain that it's been tested 7 times. The way it is the correct way. Every other way you use it will fail you one day. Let me just make a statement again. We've talked about it again and again about money. How should a pastor, a church get money? Teach the truth and pray to God. I don't know the third method. Teach truth and then pray. Once you've done that, whatever God gives, take it. Don't do the one I hear all the time. These boys don't know how to wind this thing. If you know how to wind the word to extract something, the word will wind you back one day and you will break. Teach the truth. Teach the truth. Say things openly the way they are. I've been asked before, like you said, to raise money for things, and I've done it. My own is just to tell the truth. I said, this church needs this certain amount of money to run every month. Brethren, please, each person take a sheet of paper and make your own personal pledge to what you will send on a monthly basis so that the church knows this income is coming. I remember on that particular day, at the bottom, somebody laughed that day when I finished. They wrote the papers had been prepared to share to people. At the bottom, they wrote prayer point. I said, look at the bottom of your paper, they wrote prayer point. Everybody said, don't write anything there. They are deceiving you. The whole church laughed. I said, it's deception. I said, if I wanted to pray for you, do you see how small that line is? I said, look at the length of the paper. 5% at the bottom, they say prayer point. I said, forget that thing. Cancel it. Don't write anything there. This is money collecting paper. It's not prayer paper. I told everybody. I said, if you need prayer, this is where you go. At that point, I said, this today, don't join your prayer point to this money. This is money point. I said, this is our church. Dangote will not sponsor it. I'm not going to call a toddler. One day, the church went to a man in Benin. I know the man, but one of these transport lines. That, you know, Benin has a very developed transport system. That's bus companies. They have a lot. Well developed. So they went to one of the big ones, a church. They were doing harvest. They brought an envelope, and the elders came to the man. And the man, when they agreed to see them, he said, please, oh. He opened his drawer and brought a few shigidis. You know what they call shigidi? Idols and jujus. Put them on the table. He said, these are my gods that are blessing me. Why should I take their money and give to your God? I said, God, thank you, Father, for that response to shameless believers. The man didn't hide it. He said, you are doing harvest in your church. He opened his drawer, brought a few samples. These are the things I pray to, and they gave me money. If your God can't bless you, better come and join me.
Yeah.
And the man was, it was matter of fact about it. Why should I take their money and give to your own God? If your God is not handling you well, I'll tell you where my church is meeting. I'm adding my own words now. The man said it clearly like that. So that's why they say Christians. That's why I wrote the book, please. And I'm going to give everybody that came here today free. Just take one as you are. Even if you have one before, take it. Share it with somebody. It's titled, so who will pay for this? One reason why I wrote that book was because the way I preached, some people said that bank is a Christian, you don't give. Am I a stupid man? This ministry, we spend money on a monthly basis. As of today, we broadcast in 5 or 6 radio stations. I'm on TV, Omega Channel. We pay them in US dollars every month. We have people who work here. This building is not our own. We pay rent. We have expense that is hundreds of thousands every month. We have it. I don't sponsor it from my pocket. I give like everybody else. So where does the money come from? Brethren, give. God stimulates people and they give. So I appreciate giving. But when I explain to people that the way we pastors do it is not right, we are merchandising the gospel. Like you said, sir, earlier, that there's nothing you get out of God with money. Nothing. There is nothing that Jesus hasn't paid for. There's nothing. If you have believed, that's the key to a breakthrough. Every other thing you do is a result of the fact that you're already blessed. So when you walk, you are acknowledging the blessing. Sometimes being stingy stops your blessing, not because God is not seeing what to multiply, but because you have refused to acknowledge the blessing. That's what I preach. They said, sow and God will multiply. I said, pray, God will answer. That's what he said. Sometimes we pretend as if the Bible did not talk. Jesus said it clearly. He said, when you are broke, what do? Ask. Did he not say so? I asked once when I was in university, when I started preaching. I preached at the birthday party. My first open air message was at the birthday party. Mommy Jane's birthday those days, when we were on campus. Hall 1, female hostel. I was a guest minister of the day. It was my first time. But I was on fire. I still remember what I preached. I said, what is the key to receiving? People said, giving. I said, that's not Bible. I said, the key to receiving is asking. Asking in the name of Jesus, asking correctly. And I have more than 10 scriptures to support that. James said it. Forget James for a moment. Jesus said it. Ask in my name. Ask and receive, and your joy will be full. They said, what about giving? I said, it's a simple law of life. And it was taught to Christians as an encouragement, not as a motivation. It's a simple law of life. Everything that goes up must come down. So Christians learn that that law exists. It's not the motivation for what they do. Why do you give to your children? So that one day they will take care of you? No. You must be praying for problems. If you are praying like that, you give to them because they are your responsibility. If you don't give to them, who will give to them? And we are responsible children of God. That's what I preach. But because it went against what many other people preach, people say, Banky said, Christians should not give. How will I say that? It's was part of my motivation. I wrote a book, a lot of people misunderstood it, titled Grace to Prosper. And to me, you didn't carefully read it. If you read it, I itemized simply how Christians, God has promised them prosperity, how they activate it, how they do the work of God. I wrote it clearly, line by line. Most people are too lazy to read. But now I wrote another book. One man wrote me once, said, when he read the other book, he didn't agree, but now he now understands. I said, you must be a pastor. Only pastors have that problem. Because it was as if I was taking the motivation. Christians give because of what they are going to get. Of course, a very bad and ugly motivation. You shouldn't give because of what they are going to get. You should give because you recognize you have been blessed and you love God. But now wrote another book, So Who Will Pay for This? To teach Christians how to be responsible. I'm recommending it to every person here. We are giving it out free. Read it and use it to teach other people. They will give to the gospel. But don't ever take God's word and twist it. Last scripture, we'll read it and I close with it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. That's why we called this meeting the profound power of truth. Paul said, therefore, verse 1, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the things hidden because of shame. Not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. That's what Paul said, though. This is how we handle it. We don't adulterate. I read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 2. Verses 1 and 2. We have renounced the things hidden because of shame. I like the way King James says we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. We are not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God. What do? We declare truth. Truth. And by it we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. It matters what God sees. He said, I won't read the rest of it, but he now said, if anybody misunderstands, it's because he's perishing. We are not, look, that's one thing. Make sure that whatever you're doing is based on what? Truth. There must not be anything hidden as a Christian, as a preacher. Do this, believe me, you will prosper. We have to go. It's supposed to just be a 3-hour meeting, and we just spent a few minutes over that now. I don't think there's no need for questions again, right? I think we have, some people said, all right, that they need to ask questions. Okay, let's take a few minutes. Udechiku, where are your slips? If you need a piece of paper, please, we have to be out of here in maximum 15 minutes, and that's pushing it too far, actually. Just put up two fingers. If you want to stand and ask, put up one hand, one finger like this. Okay, go ahead. Somebody stand, all right. All right. All right. Yes. Yes. Yes.
In that case, is it wise, is it the wisdom of God to accept such or reject?
All right. Many people are laughing for certain reasons. You have asked a very interesting person. But I will not, don't worry, I will be very mellow in the way I answer it. Let's reason together. Why are you not willing to accept it? Because you believe that everything belongs the other way. Then I'll ask you a simple question. Who said so? You don't have one verse of your whole Bible to prove that to me. Not one. People say that this argument Pentecostals use. Your tithe belongs to where you are being fed. You just told me you fed them. I heard Casey Price teach this on television. I don't want to discuss on tithe now. But Casey Price said on TV, if I'm feeding you spiritually, I deserve a part of it. That's Casey Price. I'm not even saying it's the word of God. Just Casey Price. Let me quickly explain something to you. People say storehouse. That is the foundation. They say it belongs to your local church because that's your storehouse. It's based on the wrong premise. What is the premise? That your storehouse is where you keep things and you go and take from. Except that the Bible, when it uses the word storehouse, people who keep there don't take from it. The storehouse is meant for the priests, the widows, the fatherless, and the strangers. That's what he calls storehouse. For that reason, I will explain to you simply. If a man comes to you and says, I don't want to be my unique, I want to tell him, okay, spare me the details. Just give me the money. All these details, you are causing confusion. I don't have time for details. If you want to give, I receive it as an offering. Between you and your prayer life, decide what you call it. Don't talk to me. But don't just say, explain briefly. Why are you asking this question? If he says that, they say, where I'm being, if I have blessed you, give us our own portion. Mm-hmm. It's simple. That's my answer to you on that one. Man of God, do you have something else to add to it, please?
The argument some particular school of thought has is I belongs to the church. And I ask them, who is the church? What constitutes the church? Is it a building? We are the church. And what we are having now is the church. And if Kingdom Word Ministries is blessing me with the word of God, and I want to pay my tithe to Kingdom Word Ministry, it's right. There's nothing wrong with it at all. Now, if you pay that tithe to Kingdom Word Ministry, you're not giving it to him as a person. It's for the work of God in Kingdom Word Ministry, which is blessing your life, of which you are part of. The church is not a denomination. It's universal. I don't know if you follow what I'm saying now. Now, if a pastor who has a ministry misappropriates the money, instead of using that money for the work of the ministry, it's to buy a new Jeep. Whose problem is his problem? You brought your money to the right forum. But how he uses the money, he will pay for it. God will reward you for obedience to his word. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Somebody said, I once heard pastor, a man who I observed has a sacred respect for the word of God. He observed that the scripture of not letting your right hand know what your left hand is doing was talking of almsgiving. Therefore, declaring your gifts to God openly will probably provoke brethren unto good works. I wanted to know your thoughts on the matter. Let me quickly say something here. Sometimes people tell me, look at the scripture in context, and which is right. But also be careful that when you are looking at the scripture in context, you don't limit to truth to that context. I don't get my point. If I say, Pastor Kimothi, take my car, go to Kenyatta, let me buy wires and come. Somebody writes it down. Later on, he says, a car can be used to go from one place. No, look at it in context. He said, go from New Haven to Kenyatta. So the car is New Haven to Kenyatta. Are you seeing how we've mixed it there? You have taken the context and limited the truth. A car can go anywhere. But the context in which you heard it, it was being used between New Haven and Kenyatta. But you can also understand that it's a mode of transportation. So somebody can say, it means those days they used to use this thing called car to move between places. And you will be right. Even if Jesus said, was speaking about almsgiving, read the whole portion. He said, beware of doing your good works before men. He did not limit it to almsgiving. He said, beware of doing your good works. The motivation, let's emphasize anyway, must be that is, what are you doing to, is it so that people can see it? And the truth is that a lot of times we pastors want to provoke people to discomfort, not to good works. Because one brother wrote to me, one of our very good, it's our friend in ministry, no worry. He said his church wanted to, he pastors a church. He's an engineer. He does business. He does contracts and all of that. So God blesses him from that area. But he also pastors a church. So they needed about 5 million naira for a church project. The village, they plant churches in places. So they went to plant, I think, the village. They needed like 5 million or so. I can't remember the exact amount. He confided in me that he had given 500,000 naira. That he wants to tell the people that they already have 500,000, but he doesn't want to show that. No, like, let his right hand know what his left hand is doing. How should he balance it? That says, sir, it's very simple. Just go there. I said, we need 5 million. And one person has already given us 500,000. Anybody who is not provoked, didn't want to be provoked. Those of you who know my alumni fellowship, LOCAF, some of you have been with me for conventions. That's what we do. Nobody, you see, we'll gather, we are hundreds. We spend, I mean, last convention, we spent over 7 million naira for those 3 days. We spend money. Everybody eats free. We lodge you for free. Once you register and you're attending, usually it's members only, though we allow people to invite people sometimes. And that money comes from people. Majority of that money will come from just a few. Maybe like half will come from, we have about 400 members which will remember, registered kind of. But half of the money probably come from 10 people. Then the rest, depending. Some people can't give. Some people just left school yesterday. They can't give you money. It's a graduate fellowship, you understand, alumni. We have never one day said, okay, who's going to give? Come forward. Never. When we want to take the pledge, you say, please, brethren, our estimate for next year's convention year, that is, till we meet next time, everything we will do will probably come to about this amount of money, maybe like 8 million. So we just want you to know. So as the Lord has blessed you, give. Before, we used to, everybody, take a piece of paper and write. And we'll collate, you write your name, your phone number, your email, and the amount. I've been president for a few years now. I only know what my wife and I give. I maybe one or two other people, which I found out by accident. Because I don't do the accounting. We have a secretary, treasurer, and financial secretary. Amongst them, my vice president too does not know what goes on with the money. Those three people, they do all the, they just inform me, say, Augusta, please, these women said they will need to give them 100,000 to do this. Do you approve? I say, what? Ice cream for children? 100K? No. Okay, it was 20 something thousand that time. My wife and uncle said, the children should have ice cream. I said, ice cream? I said, no. So they didn't argue, but after that they said, Oga, we are waiting for you. Next year we'll get our ice cream for the children. That's all. They just called me and said, please, the hotel said they are charging us like this. I said, no. Take a delegation, go and meet them, say we will not accept. Yes, sir. That's all I know about the money. But the money is always complete. Always complete. There was a year, about 2 years ago, it was not complete. So I took a letter. I took my computer and wrote what one of my brothers called an apostolic mail to my brethren. I said 100,000 limit. The cost of the 100,000 limit. I said, 100,000 looks like big money to all of us. So when big people give 100,000, they think they have given. I said, except that God has blessed you more than that. I said, I come for convention. You guys drive brand new SUVs to come. And you are giving me 100,000 there. I said, brethren, shape up. Next year, they shaped up. No, but so we provoke one another. We obey that scripture. There was a time what one brother gave for that year was 1 million naira. Only me and one or two people in the school knew about the million. It hit our account because he called me and asked me. That's how come I knew. Otherwise, they would have just told me, say, Presido. They call him Presido. Presido, somebody gave 1 million. That's all I hear. Who? They don't vote. It's not necessary information. And some of the people that give the biggest money, you see them at the place. They are at the door welcoming you, registering your name. You are welcome. They are not preaching. They are not on the escrow. They sit at the door. I tell those stories, people are provoked. Talking about provocation, I don't need you coming to stand up to provoke me. Let's not disobey God. Let us pray. Let us say, Lord, I'm available to you. There's one song, I'm not very good with singing, but I will try. The song goes like this. Lord, I'm available to you. My will I yield to you. I'll do what you say do. Use me, Lord. To show someone the way and enable me to say, my storage is empty and I am available to you. Lord, I'm available to you. My will I yield to you. I'll do what you say do. Use me, Lord. So show someone the way and enable me to say, my storage is empty and I am available to you. Let's yield ourselves with our words now to the fear of God. Say, Lord, I fear you. Eru remba mi, eru remba mi, oba to fidi aye sole o. Eru remba mi, eru remba mi, eru remba mi, oba to fidi aye sole o. Eru remba mi. That song says, Lord, I fear you. You that establish the foundations of the earth. Commit yourself to him again. Say, Lord, I fear you. I fear you. I will not disobey you. My will I yield to you. Declare, say, Lord, I will walk in your ways. I will obey your precepts. I won't twist your word. I will wash my hands like a surgeon. Oh, those days, some Jews, before they would write the name of God, they'll go and bathe. If the name of God appears 10 times in the passage and they are copying, they will bathe 10 times. Say, Lord, I purify my heart, my motives, my hands with which I minister the gospel. Neru remba me. Eru remba mi, oba to fidi aye sole o. Eru remba mi. Say, Lord, I fear you. I repent of my ignorance, of my disobedience in previous times. And I say, from now on, truth, truth, nothing but truth. Oh, the Spirit of God is saying, don't worry, I will take care of you. Don't worry. Don't worry about your children. Don't worry about your future. Don't worry about even the ministry. I will take care. You just preach the truth. Make your request of me in the name of Jesus. And I will supply all your needs according to my riches in glory. Don't worry. I will bless you. I will lift you. I will glorify you in your season. Don't worry. Don't touch my ark, however. Don't touch things I said you should not touch. Don't manipulate people with my word. Cleanse your heart. Cleanse your hands. When you mount the pulpit to declare, declare only truth as the Spirit will reveal it to you. Remove your own thoughts and I will bless you. Eru remba mi. Eru remba mi. Oba to fidi aye sole o. Eru remba mi. Let's yield to him again today. Say, Lord, that call for my life, I want to walk by it. I refuse to fear any man. Please, everybody, just do something. There is something that has been troubling you. You know what Paul said? Be careful for nothing. But with all prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart. Do something. That thing that's troubling you, release it to him now. Say, Lord, I need a car. I don't want to worry about it. Let me just quickly ask you for it. For the comfort, it's not for show. For the comfort of me, my wife, and my children. I need to have a good flow so I can pay rent or maybe build a house, whatever it is. I want to carry this mission far, supply the resources. Say, Lord, send me financial laborers to work with me in this ministry that I am doing. All those things, just asking for it now. Just ask, so that it can leave your heart, knowing that you have committed it to God. Say, Lord, no, I refuse pride, though. I'm not competing with anybody. I have learned that the size of church is not a sign of success. It's how much I'm doing the will. What is the will? Lord, your word. That is success. I'm not asking for anything other than what would just be a personal blessing to me and that will help me do the work. It was troubling my heart, now I give them to you. Now begin to declare to yourself, say, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. He will make all grace abound towards me. I will have all sufficiency in all things. I will abound to every good work. To minister effectively, you need to have understanding. I just feel like we should pray for people. Just say, Lord, I want to know truth. You know, for a long time, Israel didn't even know the Bible, their own Bible then. Was it Josiah? Which king was it that discovered the scrolls and tore his clothes again? Was Josiah? This is interesting, but they had priests all the while. What were the priests doing? Like what my brother said, they were using the customs of the priests. This is how it is in our church. That's what they were using until they discovered the law. So right now, pray, say, Lord, let me discover my law, your word, the truth. I have operated by customs of our ministry, of our denomination. I have spoken words, I don't know where they came from. I have told people, connect with this grace with money. I heard other people say it, that's why I said it too. Say, Lord, from now I ask you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that the eyes of my understanding will be enlightened. Say, God, I want to know. I want to speak with confidence. I want to speak the word with confidence. I want people to say, I'm not talking like the Pharisees or the scribes, but as one having authority. Why? Because you have shown me the word, and the word has worked on me. I want to speak from revelation. I'm a minister of the gospel. Like Paul, I want to be able to declare, my sufficiency is of God, who has made me sufficient as a minister of the new covenant. Say, Lord, anoint me afresh. Anoint me afresh. I want a greater measure of your unction, so that when I go out next, I will be speaking for you. I will not be speaking for my church. I won't be speaking for my bishop. I won't be speaking for myself. I won't be speaking for the needs of the people. I'll be speaking for the Holy Spirit. Many people mount the pulpit. What's most important in their heart? What are the doctrines of our church? Say, Lord, I repent of that. I want to preach the doctrines of heaven. I want to preach the doctrines of the Holy Spirit. I want to tell the truth. That's my commitment to you, Father, today. Let's begin to give him thanks. Say, Lord, we thank you. Say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's thank him. Let us thank him. In the name of Jesus Christ. Our Father, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name we have prayed. We are closing now, but we have closed. All right?